7th chapter, Joshua 7. We're going to talk today about a prescription for our Achan nation, talking about Achan today and his nation specifically. Have you ever noticed the similarities between Israel and Christian America? It's uncanny in many ways. Both Israel and Christian America, bountifully blessed by God through the years. Both nations having great victories, claiming powerful promises of God for a time. Both nations flirting with defeat by turning away from Him. Israel did it. America has done it and is doing it. Both nations having a friend in God. Both nations having enemies that would love nothing more than to destroy them. You see the similarities this morning between Israel and Christian America? They are many. Now let's look at our text today and see what we can learn about America, particularly today. Actually, if you jump up in chapter 6, verse 19, Joshua 6, 19, Jericho has fallen. And it says in verse 19, all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now chapter 7, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. And then it goes on to tell about Achan. The end of verse 1 says he took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Who was God angry with? Not just Achan, but the children of Israel. Look at the beginning of verse 1 again. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. Achan's the one who did it, but God held the nation responsible for what happened. Verse 2, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, another town, a little village. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. No problem. Make not all the people to labor, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. You see that? Verse 6, and Joshua rent his clothes, and fell to the earth, upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? Verse 10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. 11, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. In our text, nothing is left of Jericho, but smoking rubble and ashes. And the people of that city are all dead, and the spoils were all supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. And the riches of that place, Jericho, the bounty of Jericho, were supposed to be placed in the treasury. But they did not. And so we find this Achan nation, and a prescription for an Achan nation, and some good principles that can help us in America today. First of all is the principle of the first fruits. Now this is on the back of your bulletin if you want to fill this out this morning, follow with our outline. The principle of the first fruits is found throughout the Bible. It says that the first of everything belongs to God. Now, here's the preacher again talking about the tithe. The tithe, 10% of our income, it's a part of this principle, the principle of the first fruits. But you know, it goes further than that, because God should also get the first fruits, not only of our treasure, but He should get the first fruits of our time. He should get the first fruits of our talents and just of who we are. Well, when we give God the first fruits, we're doing three things, and I do want you to jot these down. We are, number one, recognizing His provision. Recognizing His provision. That He's the one who provided the means and the energy for us to work and do what we do, the ability to live, the air that we breathe, and the ability to prosper. We are recognizing His provision, first of all, when we give Him the first fruits, as they did throughout the Bible and we're commanded to today. Secondly, we're recognizing His property. Not only His provision, but His property. Now, answer me out loud this morning. If you make $400 this week, how much of it belongs to God? Say it now. Did you hear the two different answers? A little bit of a trick question. How many of you said all of it belongs to God? You're exactly right. It all belongs to God. Now, what portion does He command us to return to Him? That's the tenth, the tithe, the $40 of that $400. Returning the first portion is just a way of confirming that He's the owner of it all, which He is. So, thirdly, the first fruits principle is a way of recognizing His power. Recognizing His power. Not only recognizing His provision and that it's all His property, but recognizing His power. Here's what I mean by that. Only God has the power to take 90% of my income and make it go so much further than 100% ever could have. Only God can do that. God has promised to do that, and God always has done that for me and for you who have practiced that. And so there's the principle of the first fruits, and that's a major teaching of this Achan story. But there's more that God wants us to look at here today. By the way, verse 1 calls it the accursed thing. Did you see that? Achan hath taken of the accursed thing. Anything you steal from God has a curse on it. Don't steal from God or you'll have a curse on your finances. In other words, 90% of my income with God's blessing upon it is better than 100% of my income that has a curse upon it. That's the point, is the blessing and the curse. Oh, I need God as my partner. You need God on your side with this. Okay. Now, what's next? Something that I said Wednesday night. Wednesday night, I made a point, and it played so well on that crowd, I'm going to try it here this morning. So if you were here that night, don't answer. But if you know the answer to this question, what is the definition given by Albert Einstein for doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results? Somebody know what he said? Is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results? Insanity. There it is. Einstein said it. Doing the same thing over and over again, and see, there's insanity right there, that picture. Expecting different results. What's my point with this? When will some Christians finally get tired of their way, finally get tired of trying to dig themselves out of a hole? They've tried it their way. It's a way where they don't tithe. You've tried it your way. How's that way working for you? Insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. You're not going to come up with a different result till you obey in this matter. How about giving God's way a try? He invites us to put Him to the test, a test He's never failed. And the question is, do you have the faith to even put Him to that test, to even give that a try consistently? Well, moving away from the financial aspect of this passage, let's move on. Joshua 7:21, we did not look at earlier. Let's skip over to verse 21. Joshua 7:21 is where Achan says, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, when I saw," he says, "then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." Verse 21 there shows the progression of sin. Achan saw, he coveted, he took, he hid. And nobody saw what he did except for God. God saw what he did. Now we had a whole message on that recently in the Ten Commandments series, the message on covetousness. We dealt with Achan thoroughly. Okay? Now we want to deal with the nation of Israel, because God deals with the nation primarily in this passage. The next day, The next day, after they defeat Jericho, Israel just needs to finish off this little village of Ai. Not a great walled city like Jericho. Ai so small that Joshua's captains recommend they send just a small detachment to go finish the job. But no sooner than they invade, they start sensing something is different. God isn't with us. Before, He's been fighting our battles and giving us the victory, but not today. And 36 men died needlessly. And even bigger than that, as big as that is, the name of God was disgraced throughout the land that day. Why? Why did all this happen? Because there was sin in the camp. Sin in the camp. The New Testament Bible teaches a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And it goes into dealing with sin in the church, that churches need not sweep everything under the rug, but deal with that little bit of leaven that can leaven the whole lump. Well, sin in the camp, it's an important message too, but we're not really going to preach that message today. Not about the sin of Achan, but about the camp. Let's talk about the camp a little bit. Now, there's two parts to the sin, obviously. The personal part, Achan doing his thing. Desire led to deed, led to deception. Same way it happened with David and Bathsheba, you remember? He saw her, he wanted her, so he sent for her. He took her. Then what does he do? Covers it up. It does happen the same way for us today. So there's personal guilt involved, but let's talk about the corporate guilt, national guilt. The entire nation of Israel, an Achan nation, they were. And America is too. But God has the prescription for this. Verse 1 said, the children of Israel trespassed. Down in verse 11 it says, Israel hath sinned. Why? Why is it Israel's sin? Let me tell you this morning. This is the crux of our message. If Israel had been right with God, they could have prevented all this. And we'll go into that in a moment. Right now, we the people of God, Christian America today, I'm looking at part of it right here before me. You're looking back at part of it. Christian America today, we are in some sense responsible for the sins of America. Did you know that? We bear some responsibility for the sins of our nation. We're talking about corporate guilt. Corporate guilt. Why has America become an immoral nation? I'll tell you why. In large part because of the apathy of those of us who know better. Yeah. God said, if my people. We are supposed to be what? Salt and light. That's what Jesus told us to be. Salt and light. You and me, joining together, holding hands, we are to be salt and light. We are supposed to be salt that penetrates. We are supposed to be light that radiates. We're supposed to be the salty preservative of our society, of morality. We're supposed to be a bright light of truth, exposing the forces of darkness, but we're not doing a very good job of it. You see how I say the truth when I say corporate guilt? We are in part responsible for what's happening in our nation today. Have you heard of the term collateral damage? I'm sure you've heard of it, especially in the war on terror. We use this term collateral damage, talking about civilians who die because of war. And we as a nation always try to minimize collateral damage. Now, have you noticed our enemy actually, not only do they not try to minimize collateral damage, it's what they're all about, killing civilians. Even their own, if it will help them win. Well, it has been rightly said that Iraqi and Afghani civilians bear some responsibility for what they have allowed their nations to become, for who they have allowed their leaders to be and to get away with. Now, I know that they have been oppressed. I'm not minimizing that. I'm saying by not rising up long ago and overturning their leaders long ago, they allowed their own oppression to occur. They bear some responsibility. Now, we call them innocent civilians, and I'm all for continuing to call them innocent civilians, especially little children who definitely have done nothing wrong. My point, don't miss it, is we need to remember that there is a sense of national guilt that exists. So what's my point for us today in America? Here it is. About half of all professing Christians don't vote. Did you hear me? About half of professing Christians don't vote. In the year 2000, the state of Florida, of course, decided the presidential election. By 537 votes, it was decided. Which, get this, is less than 1% of the number of professing Christians in Florida who were registered to vote who didn't vote. Less than 1% of Christians in Florida that could have voted but didn't. That's what it was decided by. It just goes to show the point, and there's many other statistics that I won't bore you with, that strongly make the point that Christian America could decide which way America goes, but Christian America decides not to. Not to. Someone else will. My one vote doesn't really matter, we say. Well, Florida almost lost us that entire election, in my opinion. And based on what happened very soon after on 9/11 and in the war on terror, I say that you and I might have become collateral damage had it not turned out the way that it did. Collateral damage. Now, you and I today, we live in another state. The name of our state is Chicago. Welcome. We have allowed Chicago to vote for our state. We have allowed Chicago to become the acting capital of our state. Might as well just build a dome up there in Chicago, right? Why not? And this week, there's a strong chance that our nation may decide that we don't mind if the name of our country is for all practical purposes changed to Chicago. We are allowing this to happen. We have allowed this to happen. And we bear some responsibility, and let's not be surprised if we wind up being collateral damage. It's a sad fact, but I believe God wants me to say it today. Remember, if America gets nuked, the Christians die too. We die along with everyone else. Now you say, oh, this is Illinois. We're not going to make a difference in this state. You're right that we won't. My point is that we could. And you're right, we won't. But we could. We could. And it helps make our point about our aching nation today. Now, if you need some more basic reasons to vote, here's a basic reason. God is watching. God is watching what you do if you stand for morality or not. If you vote or not. You can please Him right there. It's not all about the results and the outcome. It's about your results. And God is watching what you do. Here's another reason. It's our Christian duty. Here's another reason. Guys like Doug Henderson in Iraq today. I just learned this morning Chris Smith will be going over there probably in the springtime. Guys like this. And tens of thousands more like him today. And millions more before them. Lay their lives on the line to give us the privilege that we don't even take. The freedom to vote. Abraham Lincoln said, "Elections belong to the people. It is their decision." Listen to this. "If they decide to turn their back on the fire and burn their own behinds, they'll just have to sit on their blisters." How telling are his words to us today? And this week, God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people," that's Christians, "if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin," and listen, "will heal their land." Our land needs healing. Our aching nation. And it's about the body of Christ doing what it needs. We're a bunch of Achans. That's what the Bible's saying to us today. What part of the body of Christ are you? You're an Achan, whatever it is. An Achan back, an Achan head, whatever you are. This Achan nation can go the way of the church house. God says, "If my people," and he might as well say at the end of it, "I'm God and I approve this message. And will you do what I say here?" You see, the White House, that's so important to us, right? The State House, That's important. The courthouse, but with God, it's all about God's house. That's really important. And God's house is made up of your house and my house. These are the houses that we really need to be working on. Otherwise, we bear a great deal of responsibility for what happens in our Aiken nation. Paul Harvey's comments in the year 2000 about the Columbine high school shootings. I quote, "If only the parents had kept their children away from the guns, surely we would not have had such a tragedy. Yeah, it must have been the guns. It couldn't have been that half of our children are being raised in broken homes. It couldn't have been that our children get to spend about 30 seconds in meaningful conversation with their parents each day. It couldn't have been that we treat our children as pets and our pets as children. It couldn't have been that we place our children in daycare centers where they learn their socialization skills under the law of the jungle while employees that have no vested interest in their children look on and make sure that no blood is spilled. It couldn't have been that we allow our children to watch 7 hours of television a day. It couldn't have been that we allow our children to enter into a virtual world in which, to win the game, one must kill as many opponents as possible in the most sadistic way possible. It couldn't have been that they're so spoiled with material things that they come to equate receiving gifts with love. It couldn't have been that we give 2-year prison sentences to teenagers who kill their newborns. It couldn't have been that because our school systems teach that the children are nothing but glorified apes who evolved out of some primordial soup of mud, teaching evolution as fact, it couldn't have been handing out condoms as if they were candy was a part of the problem. It couldn't have been that we teach our children that there's no laws of morality that transcend us, that everything is relative, and that actions don't have consequences. Nah, it must have been the guns." Doesn't that make the point? It's time that we admit that we are in a mess in America today, and it's time that we all share the blame. Stop just pointing the fingers at what someone else is doing wrong, and realize that we, our house, your house, my house, the church house, that has resulted in what's going into all these other houses. We share much blame for the moral slide that we are on, whether you're talking about crime, or abortion, or homosexuality, or greed, or materialism, or sex in our society, whatever you're talking about. We all share responsibility for what's wrong, and we must all share the responsibility to make it right. Again, God said, "If my people will pray, then I'll heal their land." We cannot blame God or the government for the condition of our nation. Exclusively, can't blame our nation if we are not willing to share the blame. Now, believe it or not, now I start the message. Have no fear. This message I'm about to present to you is like a tiny little bitty house. And on the front of this tiny little bitty house is this huge, sprawling wooden deck. Okay? The big deck is the introduction. And now we move into the little house. Okay? So we're most of the way through this. It doesn't take many words to preach the actual message. But right from our text, 3 reasons for Israel's corporate sin. Why they became an Aiken nation. Number 1 is pride. Look at verse 3 of our text. Pride. We're in Joshua 7, verse 3. "And they returned to Joshua, these spies, and said, 'Not all the people go up, just 2,000 or 3,000 men.'" It was pride. They say, "Look at that little village. They're no problem. We can take them with one hand tied behind our backs. After all, look what we did to Jericho." Now that's pride. They forgot that they didn't do that to Jericho. They were just walking around. God was the victory at Jericho. Israel here reminds me of that woodpecker. He was working on a tree one day with all his might when, unbeknownst to him, lightning struck that very tree, splitting it in half right down the middle. He flew away a little shocked at first, but it wasn't long before he flew back with all his friends and brought them to the tree and says, "There it is, gentlemen, right over there." You know, our temptation when we're blessed so much is to think that somehow we're responsible for our situation. We're not. We're not. I'm our blessings. We're not responsible for those blessings. God is. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." They suffered destruction at Ai because they became an Achan nation. We've already established today that the United States is very much flirting with being an Achan nation, and we need to remember that pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, I'll be the first to admit that it could be, though we'll die trying to keep it from happening, it could be that it's part of God's plan for things to go, quote, wrong this week. I'll be the first to admit it. I mean, after all, God's got to wrap things up on this earth somehow, doesn't he? And I think it'd be a big step in that direction. And so if I can find some morbidly twisted positive thing out of that, that would be it. Don't you know we in America appear to be asking for just that? Well, three reasons for Israel's corporate sin: pride. Number two, presumption. Presumption. We see this right in our text as well. They assumed that God was with them. They assumed. Just like Samson did, you know, when he, even after visiting Delilah's salon, even after having his hair cut, he wist not, he knew not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. He went out to slay again, and all of a sudden, hey, things are different. He presumed. They assumed that God was with them. And we in America seem to be assuming a lot, because we're still receiving some blessings. It's what I call the sprinkler effect. You remember the old kind of sprinkler, the oscillating back and forth? I always was fascinated as a kid that even when the sprinkler turned this way and was pointing this direction, there was still water falling on this side. You know the concept I'm talking about? It had been going up and shooting water up, and that water's still in the air, but now it's shooting in this direction, but there's still water falling. We're still receiving some blessings, it's true, but we're pointed in the wrong direction. We're pointing in the wrong direction. We're presuming that everything's okay, and we still call ourselves a Christian nation. But I'm not so sure anymore. Presumption. Now, I don't think this is in the notes, but as I look at it now, this is worthy of writing down too. There's no power of Satan too great for us to overcome in the power of the Spirit of God. With God's help, you could put it that way, there's no power too great for us to overcome. But there's no power of Satan that's so small that we can overcome it in the power of the flesh, in the power of our own flesh. No power of Satan that's so great that it can't be overcome in the power of the Spirit. No power of Satan that's so small that we can overcome it in the power of our flesh. Here's the point. It's not the Jerichos that defeat most Christians. It's the Ais. It's not the Jerichos, usually, that defeat Christians. It's the little Ais. Song of Solomon 2:15 says, "Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines." 1961, Muhammad Ali was the boxing champ. He was preparing to defend his title, preparing to fight against Joe Frazier. 1961, remember. He said this, "There's not a man alive that can beat me. I'm too smart. I'm too pretty. I am the greatest. I'm the king. I ought to be a postage stamp. It's the only way I'll ever get licked." And the next night, Joe Frazier proceeded to beat Ali's brains out. He has lasting effects today from that fight. Why? Because there's a difference between confidence and presumption. Confidence for the Christian is found only in Christ. Presumption, that's what Christian America is doing today. Let's pray that no one stays home from the polls in presumption. One candidate this year, who I don't have to name, has already been planning the victory party. In presumption, I mind you. Presumption. Let's point it back to ourselves. Many of us are just as guilty. God does not have to keep blessing us. We're asking Him to judge us. Eventually, He's going to give us what we have been asking for. So Israel shared nationally in the guilt of Achan's sin because of their pride, and then pride's child, presumption, and then pride has a grandchild, number three, and that is prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. Joshua didn't pray about Ai. Joshua prayed all about Jericho. Joshua, as the leader, didn't pray about Ai. The people, the spies he sent out, Israel, didn't pray about little Ai. How do I know that they didn't pray about Ai? I know that Joshua didn't pray about Ai because as soon as he did get around to praying, God showed him what was wrong. Thanks for asking. Wish you'd asked a little sooner, Joshua. If he had prayed before, God would have showed him the sin that was in the camp, and they would not have been defeated. You see, God has a prescription. He had a prescription that day, had they consulted Him in prayer. God has a prescription for Achan, America, today, and we need to take it. We need to take our medicine before it's too late. See, we are very much like Israel. We wait until we make a mess of things, and then we rush to God in prayer. Write it down. Prayer should be our first thought, not our last resort. I think it was D.L. Moody who said, "All my failures are prayer failures. Anything I do wrong, it's because I didn't pray about it." Prayerlessness is an umbrella sin under which all our other sins stay dry and cozy. It all comes back to that. Now you can close your Bible and your notes this morning, but look at me, please, people of God, this morning. We've quoted twice today already, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that starts with a two-letter word that's the biggest word in my vocabulary today and this week, if. If. What word? If my people, God says, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. That may have to be on your knees to humble yourself. And pray. That may have to be on your knees at this altar. And seek my face. We can genuinely do that by not just walking and kneeling there to not look like a loser or something, but really praying. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, God says. Will forgive their sin, will heal their aching nation. You guessed it. The invitation's very simple today. We've got good reason to pray for the United States of America. We've got good reason to make some changes in our own lives, in our house. As goes your house, goes the church house. And as we're seeing, as goes the church, so goes the nation. So the invitation is simple. We have an altar, you have knees, and God said, if. And just like this Tuesday, the choice is up to you. Let's pray right now. Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful nation that you've blessed us with, and we want to see it continue. And we're not ashamed or embarrassed or afraid today to tell the truth about the future. I thank you for speaking to our hearts, and I pray that you would call us, your people, to answer that if and hit the altar on our knees and spend it there for the next couple of days at least, claiming your promises and reaping a reward for the future. We know that you can work all things together for good, no matter the outcome. But we want to claim victory. We want to come to you not in prayerlessness, Lord, not in pride and presumption. We want to come to you in humility today on our knees. And I pray that you'd reap a bountiful reward because of it in Jesus' name. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Let's stand quietly and reverently. And if you can find it in your heart to stay in your seat, then stay there. But otherwise, answer the if. If my people, would you come? just think as you pray. Think about the huge increase in abortions that just think of the new definition of marriage in our land. Just think of the war on terror becoming a war that's fought on American soil. Just thinking about it leads us to prayer. If you're here today and you need to be saved, would you come meet us here at the front? If God's leading you to make another decision, public, join the church, whatever, we're going to have another verse. You can come. Let's have one more verse. Let's give this whole verse to prayer, even right where we stand. Man, thank you, ma'am. You may look this way. I hope if you were parked out front that you got to see that sleigh out front. That's 3 weeks from 3 weeks from yesterday is the Christmas parade, 5:30 p.m. Hope you'll come out and support our church float there. And you can see just the basic structure of it. Brother Ken put it together yesterday, and I was over there with him part of that time. And we so appreciate that. And we want you to take a look at it. We want to see if we can put our choir and kids that are here on it. If you're a kid or in the choir, go out there afterward and let's see if we can hold everyone at the same time. That's our goal, and it's looking like it very well might be possible and even comfortable. Surgery tomorrow. Miss Debbie, where's she at? There she is. You moved like I told you. I was looking for you over here. Knee replacement tomorrow morning. You can be praying for her, and let's have a prayer as we go about that. Also, read your bulletin for some important announcements. Which is our Biggest Loser? If you would like to add your name to that list, you've got to add it by today. Out there, there's a lot of people going through this. Again, a private thing, not based on pounds, but on percentages, and just to help one another be a better temple for the Spirit of God to live in, and recognizing that bodily exercise does have a profit to it, and our parish nurse diet and exercise ideas. We have our first meeting after the service tonight. This is not just about trying to look good, okay? It's about health for some. As a matter of fact, Brother Mike, you want to share your situation right now? Go ahead. Ha, 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 ha.